Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Three texts this day for our sermon. First from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. O come, God says, let us reason together. Though your sins have become like scarlet cloth, they will turn as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they will become white like the wool of a lamb. From Paul's letter to 1 Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst, that is, the chief sinner. And from Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, when you are angry, Lord, remember to be merciful. In the name of our Jesus, who removed our sin's scarlet stain at Calvary, amen. You have noted that we dealt with a lot of colors in our readings today from Scripture. Colors such as scarlet, crimson, purple, white, and they become very, very important for our sermon today. In fact, they should remind us when we hear scarlet of Hawthorne's novel called The Scarlet Letter, the letter about a woman who committed adultery, and as a punishment for that, she had to wear a big scarlet A on her dress as she went around. Of course, today, with the looseness of all the sexual activity, I guess a lot of women would be wearing an A, and there would be very few white gowns at weddings, because the white wedding gown is supposed to suggest purity. Well, today, I want to talk to you about the scarlet or crimson X and tell you about a story. A story of a crimson X on a driveway. There was a man, and he had to run to the store in the middle of a project to get some supplies, and he left the paint can open and a brush by it. And his little boy went out and painted an X on the driveway with an oil-based paint. Well, the man was on his way back from the store when his phone rang in the car, and his wife said, wait till you see what your son did. Oh, yep, the minute you hear your son, you know it's in trouble. And then she added to it, the paint can you left open, our boy has gotten a hold of it, and he has painted the driveway. Well, the man was only a few doors away, and as he pulled into his driveway, he saw this huge X on the driveway. Oh, he was angry. And as he got out, he saw his little boy run behind his mother's skirt. And all of a sudden it hit him that he also had painted some X's in his life called sin. And this would be a great teaching moment. Calm down. Don't let your anger take charge. Get self-control and try to handle the problem. Now, at this point tomorrow, when we have children, I will have them line up over there, and I'm going to do something that I've done a few times here, but we have a new group of children. And even though you, as the big children, will remember what I'm going to do, they will not. But I'm going to start off, first of all, by asking them, what letter of the ABCs is this? And they will tell me it's an X. And I'll say, that's just like that little boy that did wrong and painted an X. But that X can be taken away by Jesus because he can turn it into a cross. And then I will pull out my scissors and I will take a sheet of paper and I will say, let's fold this sheet of paper. Okay, first of all, we're going to make a half a house or a half a tent. Then we're going to make a full tent or house. And then we're going to fold it over into a fourth of a house. And then we're going to fold it over into even less. And then I'm going to take it and I'm going to cut. All right? I'm going to go right down the middle with big people's scissors, because I have over there for them the little plastic ones that they get when they're little kids. And I'm going to all of a sudden say, oops, yike. This isn't working out so good. Whoa. And then I notice there's some more here. Whoa, it's all pieces. And then I'll pull this out and I'll tell them that if I had time and I had my glue stick with me, those little pieces, when I put them together, spell hell. I don't know who comes up with this kind of stuff that figures this out. But anyway, then I will be able to tell them something very, very special. Because what I will do, I will take the one piece that is left and I will unfold it, and it's a cross, which undoes hell and spells salvation and gets rid of any kind of crimson stain, scarlet stain, purple stain that we have. And so our driveway story continues. You see, what happens is this. The man said, we're going to have to get rid of this. The little boy said, I'll help you, I'll help you. And the father brings out the chemicals to start scrubbing the cement. And the little boy, he jumps it, but he can't do anything. Nothing's being removed by the little boy, but as his father removes it, it is starting to disappear. The little boy says, oh, daddy, I'll help you. And he pulls out two crumpled $1 bills and gives them to his father. His father said, that won't do the job. You can't pay to get rid of this. You need a father who can get rid of it. And there he was for a couple of hours, down on his hands and knees, scrubbing as the little boy watched the X, the scarlet X, disappear. Isn't that the story that we have also? Think of the text that we have before us. Reason together, God says. Listen, come together. Your sins have become like scarlet cloth, but they'll be white as snow. And though they are like crimson, they'll become like the wool of a white lamb. God can remove. You and I cannot remove the sin. Only Jesus can do that with his precious blood. And then we have the Timothy passage. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Whoa, I can think of a lot of people a lot worse than me. That's what goes through our minds, right? And yet, who wrote that? The Apostle Paul. He says he was the worst sinner who ever lived. Wow. Worse than Hitler and Mao Zedong and some of the other people who are doing things around the world in our day? Yes. Because you see, the Apostle Paul knew more of his own sins than he knew of anybody else's. And I know more of my sins than I know anything about you. And so I'm even worse than Paul, because I don't know all of Paul's sins, but I sure know mine. And if you're honest with yourself and you know the Ten Commandments, really know the Ten Commandments, what they say, then looking at yourself, you are worse than David, who killed Uriah, who committed adultery with Bathsheba. David's the worst of sinners in his own eyes, and you and I should be the worst in our own eyes if we are honest with ourselves. It's very hard to be honest, right? Why do you think Pastor Green always puts that little part in there, a moment of silence after we confess our sins? And why are we back here week after week? Because we had another rotten week not doing what God wants us to do, but asking for forgiveness and receiving it, because God can scrub all of those X's off of us, can he not? Now I have another story for you today. It's about a little girl in the burn unit at a hospital. If any of you have been in a burn unit, when I was pastor of St. Thomas in Rocky River, one of the women that I married to her husband worked in the burn unit at Ann Arbor. You know, you only work in the burn unit for a few years. It's just absolutely consuming, peeling skin off after skin. It's a terrible situation. Well, this little girl was in the burn unit, and her teacher didn't want her to get behind in her studies, so she sent a substitute teacher to the hospital to teach her the lessons that she would be missing. Well, the substitute teacher got there, and she didn't know what she was going to run in, but she tried to be friendly, hi, and everything. The little girl, no response whatsoever. Looked not only sad, but also angry. But the teacher taught the lesson, and she left. And the next day she came back to give a second lesson. And the nurse intercepted her, said, "What did you do yesterday?" Right away the substitute teacher thought, "Wow, I must have really messed up and made things even worse." The nurse said, "No, no. The attitude of the little girl has completely changed since you taught her." Well, the substitute teacher went in and she saw, here is a little girl that yesterday wouldn't say a word, that was so unhappy, so angry. But today, she was smiling. And the teacher said, "What has happened? You look so different." She said, "You know, if my teacher sent you to teach me, then she knows that I'm going to live to come back." See, that little girl thought she'd never get out and she was going to die. But that teacher and the substitute teacher gave her encouragement. Isn't that what the man did to his little son that had painted the crimson X on the driveway? He was encouraging him, not only to not do it again, but that he was a forgiving father. Isn't that the kind of father you and I have in heaven? Always encouraging us. And that means what? It means you and I, who have been forgiven multitudes of sins, if we're honest with ourselves, that we recognize that we are sinners. Some con themselves. You know, that's why we say, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're great con artists. The devil likes that. He doesn't want you to acknowledge your sin. Because if you don't acknowledge your sin, then you don't need a savior, right? And you can go live with Satan forever. But you see, that man who encouraged his son by not beating the living tar out of him, oh, he encourages us to be encouragers, just like that teacher was and the substitute teacher was. You and I need to learn to encourage others. We, the sinner, need to encourage other sinners that they are forgiven in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We now continue with our post-sermon hymn.